Hi, Elsie.
Hi, dude. Oh my God, the problem.
This is the fourth time we've said hello. Disingenuous at this point,
doesn't it? And then it makes me sad because I'm totally like amped up, and then it makes me, and it's like somebody's like, no, you can't have that present, not now. Okay,
someone peed in our podcasting cornflakes.
Yes,
really,
this is so not okay. It's, and like then a, it just really does,
it's a
makes,
rain cloud,
it's just not cool. So just to let you guys know, we have problems too.
Right here in River City. Yeah,
we have problems as well.
We have problems. It's terrible. It was annoying. It's still annoying.
It's
but
still
what
annoying.
Can you do?
But no, I don't know. I don't know what we can do. And you know what? And all, I think to, I guess, boil it down, it's my connection. But I don't understand why, because it's exact, like there's no difference. Like I looked at the speeds, the same speeds that I've had in the past, I think almost a month, are the ones that I had right now. And we had no problems before, so I don't understand. And I just used this darn thing for the entire day for International Podcast Day. In fact, I put it down and I have not touched it since then because I was so burnt out after that day.
I wouldn't have either. That's a lot of work. Yeah, that's a lot of work there.
And yeah, and I didn't even want to touch my microphone. I was like, I don't want to take a microphone out. I don't want to talk. I need to shut up.
Yeah. Yes.
So... yeah, I'm still recovering from that, truth be told.
Whose idea was that again?
It was mine.
Oh, yes.
My idea.
It was yours.
It was mine. But, you know, everybody wanted to, and actually we needed to do it, and it was great. It's just, it was a lot of work, and it was a lot of work for a lot of us. And so I think all of us are like, still like, oh my God, that was a lot of work.
Are you traumatized?
Slightly, yeah. Slightly. Because it's sort of like, think about what we just went through right now, right? With just between you and I and John and Laura and how many
It was
times?
All day, right?
It was all day, yeah. But and now imagine what we just went through. What? But there's like people watching. Like there's other people. There's other people showing up going, hey, we can't hear you. Hey, we can't see you. Hey, it would be great if you put this on. Hey, your audio's not working. Hey. And you're like, oh, my God.
That's one of those situations where I would be swangry, sweaty,
yes.
And then angry.
Yes, exactly. And I was, you know, hats off to...
just the idea that was making me sweat.
Yeah, dude, I was sweating by myself. I was all by myself sweating. And I was running just the chat and two different chats because we had to end up doing, you know, sending a lot of people over to YouTube Live because the website wasn't quite working as we wanted it to. And it eventually all worked out. Really, actually, it worked out very, very well. But for the first session, it was just so chaotic. And part of it is also that we were using a new piece of software. It's called WireTap Studios or Wirecast.
Boy, you sure did test it that day, I bet.
We totally did. But the idea of it's really cool because what it is, it's like you basically set up your camera angles wherever you want them. And then you can switch from camera angle to camera angle. So the whole idea for the people that were live in the Libsyn office was for them to watch, you know, Crystal with a whiteboard behind her teaching. But then it would... switch to like another camera angle, which was just the presentation, so people could read, right? Because if you're watching it from your phone and you're looking at somebody's whiteboard behind you, you can't see that. So that was the setup, but it didn't work out that way at all.
The best part was I thought it was over and I started texting you something totally unrelated. And you're like, I'm on live right now. So I'm like, oh, sorry. And then 5 minutes later, I got kind of curious. So I logged in, and the five of you, you all looked like you wanted to kill the other person.
No, we
didn't. Like, not one of you looked happy.
We were like, we're just trying to figure this stuff out. That was also the first time it was five of us. So it was like Rob and I and the Libsyn team.
You
know,
tired.
Like, it was like Dave and Greg and Crystal were all at Libsyn, and then it was us and... so we were running. Yeah, it was a little bit on the nuts side there, but it all worked out.
You looked tired as shit.
I mean, it worked out. It was great. We had a lot of, you know, our highest viewership. We had 83 people show up live at the highest point, which is awesome. I know, for a live event on a.
Any idea how many total visitors?
Yeah, we did. Crystal sent in a whole spreadsheet. But when I read all this stuff, I was like, I don't even know what this means. Like, what I felt was that there was a lot more people that showed up and stuck around than I imagined. Mm-hmm. So that was good.
Yes. I mean, they really took advantage of it, which is nice.
So we have a lot to cover today, from that, at least from according to our notes and stuff. But before we get started with our content, we need to let you know about PodFusion, right? shepodcast.com/podfusion.
I feel like we have to start playing soundscapes when we talk about it.
PodFusion. Yeah, it can be, it can go so many different ways. It could have a soundtrack that is sort of like pew 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 pew, like very modern or very like, you know.
That's true.
It could, it could be something like very galactic sounding.
Or it could be like, what do they call that, jock hits? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah,
yes,
dun,
it could be dun, that too.
Yeah.
Yes, it could be
PodFusion.
It could be that too. It could be that. And it,
that how it feels. That's how it feels on the inside.
And it also feels like it could also be very like ethereal sounding. Sort of like Enya. PodFusion.
That's why I said soundscape.
Yeah. So we don't know
exactly,
but all of those things are going to be part of our event, guys. We've been, you know, we're in the process of setting all this stuff out. We're going to have an incredible group of women showing up there that we are going to be able to like collaborate with and honor and just kind of really celebrate podcasting in a variety of different ways that you guys haven't really had a chance to do. And also, we're really going to make you guys do stuff that you've never done before. Especially in a group full of other
really
podcasters.
Fun.
So that's going to be super, super exciting for us.
It's going to be super fun. And then we also have the She Podcast Awards, where we're going to highlight the members of our community that have really stood out to us over the last couple of years. And we're super excited about that. Lots of them are coming. So yay. Thank you if you're listening. Thank you for coming. And also, the PodFusion event is not just for chicks.
No, it's not. No, it's not. In fact, we would love to have lots of boys.
To feel like you're not invited, because it's going to be, we're going to talk about like storytelling, and we're going to teach you how to do all these different neato content creation type things. We don't need it just to be the ladies.
Exactly. There can be all kinds of learning from both of our voices together. So it's going to be great. I'm really excited. So again, go ahead and shine up, shine yourself up and come see us.
Shine up, sweetie.
Shine up, sweetie.
Now Elsie's a 1920s drunk. Shine up, sweetie.
Shine up. So shepodcast.com/podfusion, PodFusion. Make your plans for February 2017. This is the time for you guys to start to check that out. It's going to be an incredible, it's just put it in your calendars. That is all. That is all.
Right now.
Right now.
Do it now. I know you have your phone. Do it now.
Yes.
Okay, next.
Yes, next.
We should talk about our favorite Southern lady, Christy Hausler, and Team Podcast. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are listening for the first time, you've never heard us mention Team Podcast. They are like your podcast assistant. They're like the podcast in your pocket kind of thing. She does editing. All you do is hand over the audio and say bye-bye. She does the editing. She does the show notes. They do the blog posts. They do the social media. They do everything. But you need to see teampodcast.com to see the prices so that you know what, you know, based on your show, how much it would cost. But it's really good to outsource some of that stuff. You don't have to give her everything. If you like doing one certain aspect of it, you're welcome to keep doing that. They're flexible and they have lots of team members. So check them out.
Yay. That's fantastic. Teampodcast.com, people. Yay.
Woo-hoo.
So
Christy is one of the most valuable podcasters ever because she's in every podcast group helping people with questions and problems out of the kindness of her giant heart.
Of her giant heart. Guiding you here,
which
guiding
I think
you
is
there.
So noble.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's so noble and nice that she does that.
It's awesome. It's fantastic. So are we ready for some news?
Yeah, sorry. I went backwards, not forwards. The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
there's a really, really awesome article on that features our friend Mignon Fogarty and the Macmillan relationship and building a thriving podcast network and how she went about building all of these things together. And the whole story is outlined over on medium.com. You guys, you have to take a look at the show notes so that you can see exactly how this stuff goes out. But yes, go ahead.
Let me go backwards for a second and just say who she is. Yes. So Mignon Fogarty founded the Grammar Girl podcast, which is a 10-minute fix your grammar show. And she now has a huge podcasting network called Quick and Dirty Tips, which has somehow, not somehow, because you'll read how, partnered with Macmillan Publishing. And it is podcasting and book series. And they, again, are partners. So she basically started out with like her friends, hey, do you want to give me a podcast about this? Everyone would send her the audio. She would edit it. She would put it out. She made the website. She did everything. And it caught on. And now she has a very healthy partnership with a large company and they're making the big bucks. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very
nice. And not only that, but Mignon is the sweetest, most lovely person ever.
She is. She absolutely is, which is the coolest part out of this whole thing, because it also was, you know, there were so many beautiful things about that. The beginnings of Grammar Girl as well, where everything that, you know, the timing was right. She got into it fairly early on, very early on, actually. And her podcasts were also not really long podcasts. They were actually really short from the beginning, Quick and Dirty, which is why her network is called, you know, Quick and Dirty Tips. A lot of the time, they were even shorter than 10 minutes. Sometimes they were only 3 minutes, sometimes only 5 minutes. And so they were really small. And that's really doable for it. It seemed to me, at least what I would have done is it's like, wow, I didn't even know that was an option, because when I was listening to podcasts, when I first started, I didn't know you could do something short. And when you can do something short, how cool is it that you could do those so fast, right? You could fast.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't so much of an editing nightmare because they were 8 minutes long.
Yeah. So you could really.
They're like 5 to 8 minutes long. Totally. I mean, that's a good point, actually.
Totally. And so then in order to get more, and then, yeah, she was editing a lot of people's stuff. Like they were just sending to her. It was all based around the same concept. The way Grammar Girl came to be, which is really basically one tip, just one tip on grammar. And that is all. And vocabulary. And all.
I mean, the girl has corrected Oprah's grammar. She was on Oprah correcting Oprah. So, yeah. No. But so I mean, that. So anyway, so yeah, this is a cool written piece about her and how it came to be. And it's inspiring and also just neat to read how it goes, how it went.
Absolutely. And it also highlights that there's something more than just doing it one way, right? We always think like there's that one way to do things. And in the podcasting space, it seems like there's a variety of different ways to do it. And what's interesting about the space is that the ones of us that are the most successful from an innovation point of view within a specific industry, you don't really know because they're not out there talking about it, really. Like, they're not making their business.
True.
They're not making their business and they're not making a living to teach other people how to do what they did. That's not what they do. They just do what they do for the people that they serve, which is usually not how to do what I did. You know what I mean?
So, all right, you've stopped speaking English.
What?
I lost you.
You just saw.
Do what they do. They did what they did. And it's never what they do. Instead, what they did. Like, I would like you to rephrase that last
yes,
part, please.
It's just meaning that.
You're not
like,
making any sense.
But you know
I'm
what
following it. But I'm worried that our listeners are like, hang on. Did she what now?
What did I know? What I'm saying is that she basically continues to make her money and make a living off of her existing, you know, paradigm that she's created, but that paradigm does not include as part of the way that she makes her money to teach other people how to do this.
Yes.
So
it's pretty cool,
because what tends to happen in the industry a lot of the time is like you get a little bit of success and then all of a sudden your whole business is no longer about what you started with. Your whole business is now teaching people how to do what you did. And, you know, I think that it loses the perspective of podcasting as the helm, and that's like the source of the majority of this. So congratulations, Mignon. We are very yes. proud of you, and you've done fantastic stuff, and you are just really a kind human being, and good for you.
And wonderful.
Yay!
She is. She's wonderful. Yay, mignon. And
yeah,
then
mignon.
Next in the news, we have podcasting by big brand Starbucks.
I know, which is kind of, what do you think about that, Jess? Starbucks.
I think, hooray, one more podcast with intimate human stories. I feel like the NPR storytelling type podcast is the new Entrepreneur on Fire type podcast.
Well, no, that's what I was going to tell you. This one here, it seems like, I mean, wait, because the headline says Starbucks gets into original content with new Upstanders video and podcast series. Oh, I see. There's two different things. Ah, there's a video. So they're doing a video something and they're doing a podcast.
Oh, I didn't really notice that, actually.
Yeah, so I guess there's two different things. Long-term project. So yeah, it seems like you're right. It seems like there will be, you know, these stories are going to be available in a bunch of different places. Although I haven't heard anything about this. It's called Upstanders. Upstanders.
Yeah, Upstanders.
Upstanders.
Fine, upstanding young citizens, I guess.
Yeah, and so it is, again, it's really...
It's inspirational. It's kind of cool. They're putting something good into the world, and I shouldn't be a bitch about it, to be honest.
No.
I mean, it's a nice thing that they're doing. I think it's nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, though, but at least you know that they're starting on the process of doing it like this. Interesting that they're doing a little bit of video and a little bit of the audio perspective on it. I should have checked into what it really means or listen to it, because a lot of the time, and you're right, Jess, because now it seems like those storytelling type podcasts are totally like the big thing now, and people think that that's the way you're supposed to do stuff. Like the companies think that there's no other way. You have to have this highly produced storytelling podcast diving deep into, you know, like it just seems like it's the same cookie cutter thing, just different music in the background. Same type of readings, you know? So, well, good. I if any of you guys listen to the Starbucks podcast, do let us know, because it would be really nice for us to know what you think about that. I haven't seen anything. Well, you know what? Since this launched, I haven't been in a Starbucks. Interestingly enough, here in Asheville, there aren't very many Starbucks that aren't like in a random place like the mall. Like, you don't go to Starbucks. If you want to get a cup of coffee, you go to the local, like, all very coffee houses around here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, where if you order if you order a macchiato here in Asheville, you will get a tiny little cup. Like, the proper macchiato, the way that you're supposed to have it. In a tiny, it's like a tiny, basically, it's like an espresso with the foam on top of it. Mm-hmm. That's what you get here if you order a macchiato. It's a tiny little cup. And
I don't even know what a macchiato is.
Yeah,
I ordered one and it was so bitter. Well, I got it from Dunkin' Donuts. That was my mistake.
Yeah, that's not good, dude. They're not going to give you that. And also, in a lot of the coffee houses, they also don't have any other size. Like the biggest size they have is like the 16 ounce. Like there's only one size. It's like you get the 16 ounce. You don't get like... all of the gigantic sizes that you get when you go into, you know, Starbucks and stuff. So they have proper coffee here. They have proper coffee, proper coffee houses. So I haven't seen. I thought maybe they would advertise it inside of the Starbucks. I'm going to have to figure out or ask them. I'm like, do you know? That will be a really good thing. Guys, the next time you go into Starbucks, ask them, do you know about your podcast? The people who are there to see what they think about that.
Do you think they don't know about it? You think that...
I think that they don't know about it. I think that the Starbucks employees...
You don't think they have like a team meeting every day and Starbucks sends them the deets on what's going on in corporate?
I don't know. Maybe. That's why you should ask. I know that they do have a lot of really great stuff happening for the company, meaning in terms of training and whatever, but do they get the podcast information out to the people? I'd be really interested to see, and I'm up for asking them. So that would be interesting.
Well, now I'm going to have to.
You're going to have to ask. Next time you guys are in Starbucks, ask them about their podcast.
For sure.
Ask them what they know.
Now I have to know. I must know. I must.
You must.
Okay.
So
I must. What else is going on?
We have a little bit of in interesting sort of like this. I just came into my.
Oh, yeah. This is new. Yeah.
This is totally new. So there is spoken editions. So that is part now of iTunes, spoken editions, and the podcast app. So what spoken editions is basically your big blogs that are made into audio snippets, I guess. There is actually a company that it seems like there's a company that Apple has partnered with that
a bunch. HuffPo, Routers, Slate,
oh, no,
Wired,
what I'm saying,
Bustle, Fusion. Oh,
no,
sorry.
What I'm saying is that there's
to
one
read
company.
The things?
There's one company here that it's called Apple Spoken Editions are powered by technology from Spoken Layer, a company that takes a publisher's RSS feed and quickly turns the content into audio. So what I'm saying is...
I bet you anything, these are just from voices.com. They're just people reading shit.
Totally, mm-hmm. Exactly. So what I'm saying is that Apple has partnered with Spoken Layer to create these like basically listenable articles from some of the biggest blogs that are out there. And yeah. I'm not sure how it's set up in iTunes as of now, meaning that if you launch iTunes,
let me take a look.
If you see it, would you go to podcasts to find spoken editions? And it's
there's
also available
noteworthy.
During the
and
podcast
there's...
app. Can you find it? Can you find it? Is it there?
Buzzed About, Election, True Crime, Featured Collections, Black Voices, Aspiring Authors, Editor's Choice, Featured Providers, This Week on Sports Illustrated.
Huh.
Let me look at Featured Providers. No. Let me look at Editor's Choice.
Maybe the radio, you think? No.
Niente.
No.
TV. Featured Collections, TV Talk, Movie Fanatics, Make a Podcast, Parenting, Pro Wrestling. Ay vey. No. True Crime, no. Election, no. Buzzed About, let's see.
Huh. Well, maybe. No. Well, then, we can't find you, audio. What is this called? Spoken editions?
Nope, there's not even a new category. Let me just go to audio, just audio. And see
yeah, that's what
there.
I was thinking, maybe going
there.
Here
we go. Modern radio drama, no.
No.
Learn a language and featured providers, no.
Nope.
No, no, no. No spoken.
Well,
nothing.
They have The New Yorker.
Where?
Is that a podcast, though? And ESPN? Well, I guess, you know what? Who knows where they are? Well, then, Apple, it seems like it's hard for us to find what we're just talking about now. So, we do not know. Music, movies, App Store, audiobooks, iTunes U. Well, it
that's
seems
weird.
Yeah. Well, we are reporting on something that we can't find, but it is officially. It seems like this happened 2 days ago. Apple officially launched. Well, 2 days ago from October 5th. So that means like this launched on October 3rd. So maybe when you see this, you will be able to find it. I guess excitement. Kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, let me see. Is there anything in the article that says anything about it?
No, it doesn't look like... Seems like it would...
Is there any... It says just search for spoken edition in the search bar, and it should all come up. Let's see if that works. Hold on.
Okay.
Spoken...
Well, they're going to have a harder time. Featured providers. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Is it? Really?
They all come up. Yes. Now, let's see what happens when I click on one. Maybe it'll tell me the categories. Nope, it just says podcasts, technology, tech news, Wired. No, they're not anything special. You have to actually search Spoken Edition.
Wow.
They don't have their own section.
Well, that's going to make that really successful. Because if I were searching for that...
Do you think they need their own section?
Yeah, because nobody's going to find that out. I mean, it says Spoken Edition right on it, but it's like... So if I was going in there, I guess if I was going in there to check... Like, let's say I wanted to get Wired... So, you know,
I
Wired
mean, listen,
magazine.
Look at this. Mashable put two out on the second, two out on the third. Literally, they're the longest one's 4 minutes. What's the point of that?
Oh, they're really tiny. They're really small. They're really
this
small.
This is a clamor. This is not a podcast. And the same thing with gadgets and tech. Gizmodo, 24 seconds, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 1 minute. What is the point?
Wow, they're really, really short. Well, I think that it's because there's some people who really loved the Wired articles and they just can't read them. And that's how long it takes.
First of all, who reads it in 1 minute? 1 minute?
Well,
it takes me longer to pull up the site than it does for them to read it. That's whatever. I mean, good for them. Let's try every... Listen, if you have enough money, you should try every idea that pops into your pretty little head and see what fails, and so the rest of us can learn from you. Thank you, iTunes. I appreciate it.
We'll see how that works out. No, but I mean, if somebody... I'm going to have to give it a go. I'm going to have to test one out at some point to figure out how that works. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yay.
La, la, la.
First of all, this next one is so interesting. I didn't even know that Arthur was still being made.
I know. So, okay. So, as we're switching through, so do you guys know Arthur? Those of you listening, raise your hand and then we'll call on you. No, I'm
raise
just
your hand and then we'll not know who you are. Arthur is a show on PBS. I don't necessarily know who does it, but I can say that if you have kids in the last 20 years, their theme song is by Ziggy Marley. Hey, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. Hey, yay, where we can learn to work and play. It's reggae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And get along with each other. It's very Marley. It's very cute. Anyway, I didn't know they made new Arthurs. I thought they were all super duper reruns because doesn't Arthur need to, watched it 15 years ago.
I know. They all stay in the same grade. So, but it's funny because my that's what I put on my kids right now is Arthur. It was a Bullies episode or something like that that I put on there while we're recording in here. So the cool thing about Arthur is that, I guess, is this for the new season or is this like one of the newest episodes that's being made? They're basically remaking Serial, like the, the Serial from Sarah Koenig and the famous Serial that everybody does with Adnan Syed and all that stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Yo.
Yeah. Yes.
So, they're totally doing that. And it's so cool because Arthur is basically not the bad guy, but the
Adnan
guy
Syed.
Adnan
He's the correct. He's the innocent victim.
Because I guess part of the, it's like their homework, the character's home, one of the character's homework is to create a podcast. And so he has to come up with some kind of theme or some kind of, what's the podcast about? And they figure out that it's about trying to find out who has been taking the cereal, right? The actual cereal for breakfast, the breakfast cereal.
Yeah. And yeah. Cereal.
Yeah. So then it's name it Cereal. And I just thought like, oh my God, we are really getting now to the point where our little kids, the young ones are going to have podcast as part of something that it's just like Netflix. That's just like streaming services. They don't even know. Because even when I was showing my girls the tape, like I'm like, oh my God, a tape, like one of those big giant VHS things, they're like, what is that, mama? I'm like, oh my God, they totally don't even know. They don't know that exists.
How would they know?
I know, that's what I'm saying. And they don't know what tape, like all of this stuff. So now our kids, though, will know what a podcast is. How cool is that? That's amazing.
They won't know what life is like without it.
I know. They'll know all about that. And speaking of kind of moving on to the next, I don't know if you had a chance to read this thing, but I was like floored by this next thing that just came up. So it seems
I'm trying to remember. Hold on.
It's the one that the title of this that I saw was Old Podcast Triggers Inquiry into Sierra Teacher. And this is a local.
Oh my God. I have not seen this. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So this is a local bulletin that came out in a specific area for a high school teacher. Supposedly, allegedly, this high school teacher created a podcast that is called Media Fiasco. He started this Media Fiasco podcast in 2011. And it seems like episode number 3 or something like that, number 2 or number 3, had a very sort of X-rated type conversation happening in the podcast, as a lot of podcasts out there have. And it was basically said that it was a comedy podcast. The podcast is about, I think the description is in there, Jess. If you can read it, that would be awesome. The description of the actual podcast itself, the Media Fiasco podcast. But the interesting thing about that is that it's just joking. It was basically his inspiration was the shock jocks that we all know and love in the morning that push boundaries and talk about stuff and use language that maybe are not necessarily appropriate for everybody, but a lot of people really enjoy it. And the power of podcasting is that you can basically get behind the microphone and you can have a shock jock show if that's your deal. And you can say
what... I can't find it.
You can say whatever you want. Here, no problem. But this is and the reason that this popped out to me was because when I was reading this, I was like, why does this sound so familiar, this podcast, right? And I was like, I think Libsyn hosts it. And then I realized that I featured it as one of the Rockin' Libsyn podcasts. Yes, I did. So this is what the show is about. This is his description. I refer
shut
to my show.
Shut your ass.
What?
I found it. Okay. I said, shut your ass. That's from Big Bang Theory, by the way. But it says it's not available in the U.S. store.
Oh.
Wait, what store is it available in?
No, I think that it's gone, it seems like, because I talked to Rob about this, and I think he closed his account.
Well, there's
and took
still
all
a
his
website, mediafiasco.com. Let's see what happens when you go there.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't think it was like, the thing is
it
this,
says the website's
guys,
undergoing maintenance.
I don't think that the show, that there was anything bad about the show, and I don't think that there was anything X-rated or really,
wait,
really...
Wait, I found it on Stitcher.
You did? I don't know if all this stuff is in there. But,
wait a minute. What? Wait. Stop talking. Okay. You have... Wait. Just wait. Okay.
Okay. All right.
About the show, it says, news and pop culture, mostly irreverent, always inappropriate. The most recent episode is called Porn for Blind People.
Oh.
In this episode, a woman fondles strangers and breaks into a home to play cards. Fecal DNA in man's shorts leads to his arrest. Passenger arrested for masturbating on a bus trip. Tennessee man caught urinating in a Walmart while stuffing trout in his pants. And then the show before that is Penile Snakebite. The show before that is Four Foot Orgasm Syndrome. The show before that is Dung Spitting. So, yeah, it's not appropriate.
No.
Nothing about that show
is appropriate.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it's a show like any podcaster could do that, though. I mean, you can, you know, it's basically...
But not if you're a high school teacher.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying.
What's the matter
with
people?
His students found out that he had this show, right? So one student brought this over to basically the PTA or whatever, I don't know, the principal of the school. And so they started to do research on the show. And I guess the conversation goes around, if you're going to have a show like this, you need to not use your real name.
I guess. Is that...
Right?
It doesn't really say anything about his real name. It doesn't say who it is.
Well, yes, it... Well, I have his name.
Well, you do.
No.
But it's not on his Twitter.
It's not on his... Well, no, it's not. But I do have it. I don't have his last name. I have his first name on the blog, on the Libsyn blog.
How do they know it's his?
What do you mean? Because I'm sure that they heard his voices, and if he took it down, because he's taken it down. So...
It's on Podbay.
It's on... Well, yeah.
And see, it up on-
so here's the thing. So this is why he started podcasting. I've always enjoyed talk radio, namely shock talk shows like Don and Mike. And now that Don Geronimo and Mike Omer each have their own podcast, I enjoy them both. I think that hearing them have so much fun combined with being told by many that I have a face for radio led me to podcasting. I felt that I needed a creative outlet of some kind. I don't sing or play an instrument. I don't write and I don't act. But I do have a quirky sense of humor and it just kind of clicked for me. So
Elsie, not only did you feature him, but you featured him this year, May 2nd.
I know, dude.
I can't believe it.
Well, people just like
I just found the Libsyn article. It's hilarious.
I know.
That's
and
so
the whole,
funny.
But the whole point is that he basically, you know, he's just like us. He's just like us. And I guess the conversation is around like, you really have to watch what you put out there, people. I mean, if you have if you're a high school teacher, you can't. You have to have an alias of some kind. You have to hide what you're doing in some way. It's not just like open.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You what? Don't think it's creepy that a guy obsessed with these weird, wild stories is a high school teacher?
Well, I'm not saying
that doesn't creep you out. Would you want this guy to be? Don't say he's
no.
just like us.
No, no, no.
I take offense to that.
Well, no. What
I wouldn't let this guy teach my kids, male or female.
Well, of course, I'm not saying that I'm okay with that. All I'm saying is that most podcasters
you said he's
can get
just
behind
like
the
us.
Mic. What I'm
you
saying
speak
is,
for yourself.
Okay, no. Well, see, here's the... Okay, here... Okay, what if I... Here's what... What do you know now that you wish you knew when you started? This is part of the Libsyn feature. He says, I wish I would have jumped on in before making sure that everything was perfect. Anybody could have said that. And I wish I could have realized that time commitment that podcasting required. That's just like us. While my production process is pretty streamlined, the research and collection of show material can be quite time-consuming. That, plus being a single dad to a 5-year-old son, has meant that lately I have been lucky to get a show out
on
my
mind.
And listen, what I'm saying is this. These are the same problems that every podcaster has. Yeah, the content is
I
weird.
I know, but Elsie!
What?
Why don't you ask a serial killer what he likes about his Air Jordans? What do you think he's going to say? The blood drips right off of them? I mean,
so
he's going to say,
we have a cushy heel. Well, there's a, okay, so we have, you know, okay, we have, listen, Patrick Keller.
Saying?
Listen, I'm bringing, like, we have a Patrick Keller from the Paranormal
so
podcast, right? Listen, he loves,
yes,
like, death,
yes.
you know, scary, funky paranormal stuff, right? He also teaches.
Just because it's paranormal. Now you're getting crazy. Just because it's paranormal doesn't mean it's scary.
Okay.
You're making a lot of generalizations about people now.
Well, no, you are.
No, I'm not. You're making all kinds of different. For once, I'm not the offensive one.
I know, right?
It.
And no, but okay, so have we heard? I mean, what if Howard Stern wanted to teach a class? Do you think that he would change himself?
Howard Stern is a professional journalist. This guy is a pedophile.
What? Where is a pedophile coming from? Where does that come from? I don't know.
Now you're making assumptions.
You're labeling something.
Let me rephrase. But honestly, it's like you're a car company. Let's pretend you're Subaru.
Okay.
And you just happen to call random Subaru customers on the phone and ask them what they like about their Subaru. I mean, yeah, they're going to give you similar answers. You don't know that you've called the Unabomber.
Right. You're right.
How would you know? You don't know what this guy... That doesn't mean he's just like you in the fact that he drives a Subaru and appreciates the GPS built into the dash. That doesn't mean he's not digging graves in his backyard and plotting to be the next Charles Manson. You have no idea.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying his...
Okay.
I mean, I get your point of view, too. I get it. I totally understand it. The thing is, though, also, you know, that was like, I don't know. When was the last show that he put out? I don't even know. But the point is this, that, you know, some of the stuff that he was looking at the irreverent, the things that were offensive. He was actively looking for stories that would be shocking to talk about.
Honestly, it looks
that
like the last
the
episode was July 8th. July 8th was Porn for Blind People. Before that was April. Before that was February. Before that was January. And then
would, you know, randomly put this stuff out. Again, I'm not defending the guy. All
it's
I'm
random.
Saying is that you have to start to watch what you do when you put out there. That podcasting is getting to the point where now instead of people looking just for your Facebook page or your Twitter profile or something like that, they're going to look at your podcast. They're going to start to listen to your podcast, and they could possibly not hire you because of what you're saying in the podcast, whether or not that is fully who you are. Because there's a lot of people who use personas. When they get online, they make, you know, their voice is different. You know, they put their radio announcer voice or something like that. And they might say things on the podcast that they wouldn't say in real life. Like if they were, you know, applying for a job or working in a 9-to-5 type of situation, they might not behave in the same way that they do when they're putting on a show because they're putting on a show. They're acting. They are doing a show. So,
yeah,
you know, what if somebody started to judge you based upon just what you said on the podcast, Jess? And they're like, I don't want to hire that whiny girl. Well, like, you know, like they listen to the show and they're like, you know, that Elsie just keeps talking and she whines so much. And it's just like, I'm not sure I like her voice.
Elsie.
I don't want to hire
her. They are doing that. They are doing that, dear.
Right.
So, we just have to be comfortable with the fact that they are doing it. But yeah, I mean, that to me is like not necessarily news, because always social media has given you like a, hey, watch what you say, true. Jackass, because it affects everything and it stays online forever and ever and ever. I just also feel like, should you be, this is, you've brought a totally separate issue that you're trying to avoid talking about, which is, should you be a high school teacher and have any kind of podcast or blog about these,
yeah.
about every sex crime?
That's true. That's
and,
true.
An awkward sex experience. Like, it's creepy.
It is, I mean, a little bit creepy because people just, are going to, yeah, judge it on, with that. And I think this is
I'm just wondering, did you not know it, even, whether he was a high school teacher or not? You featured him this year.
Yeah.
What made you choose that show?
I don't choose them, dude. This is what I say for... Here's the thing. People are looking for promotion. People don't step up to be promoted, period. You give people an opportunity to get themselves out there. A lot of the time, I would say 90% of those opportunities, people do not step up. So for Rockin' Libsyn Podcast, all you have to do is email me. I will email you back the questions. You email me up the back the answers, and I will feature you. That is it. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't request.
You don't even listen to it?
What?
Had you listened to it, would you have featured him?
I have not listened to it. I am not allowed to really listen to any podcasts like that for Libsyn, because that means that I would have to. There's a whole legality thing there. So, yeah, we don't listen to podcasts. That we just feature them. So this is not.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you mean you're not allowed to listen to the shows
because,
that you're featuring?
Because that means that it's a real, that's a total legal problem. I don't even know what it's called. It's called like,
wait, because it's,
I don't know what it's called. It's, it basically is
nepotism.
This. No, no, no. It's
nepotism.
It's inside of, it's inside. Gosh, darn it. I wish I knew the name of what this is, but basically it's, if we were to publicly say that we listened to a specific show, that means we would have to listen to all of the shows. That means that we are liable for any infractions on copyright issues that are inside of the shows.
Okay, that part I understand.
Okay, so we can't listen.
But what I don't understand is, before you feature someone, you don't have to say that you've listened to it. But wouldn't you choose based on the fact that you've heard it and it's not horrible or offensive?
Nope. It, you send it to me, you give me the answers, I read the answers, and when I read the answers, I
What if
post
it was a podcast on Nazism and how to become a Nazi, and they just called it Power to the People, and they wanted to, you wouldn't
that's
know.
That's why it says, what is your show about? And then I would make
okay.
an educated decision based upon that.
Wait, hold on. What was his answer?
What is
hold
your
on,
show
now
about?
I want to see what his answer Hold on, I gotta see what his answer was. Hold on.
What is your show? It's right here, dude. I refer to my show as a reverent and inappropriate take on news and pop culture. Basically, I dig deep into the seedy underbelly of the world to find the most bizarre, weird, disgusting, gross, and wholly inappropriate news stories that I can find. I report the stories and offer my takes, often just a brief 1-2-line zinger. I always tell people not to listen if they have children in the car, if they have a weak stomach, or if they can't find humor in the sickest things they've ever heard. That's the description.
And you...
Do you know how many shows are like that, dude?
I'm sure many.
There's
sure
a lot of them. Like in fact, it's like, it's sort of like the entrepreneur of on fire of your general podcaster. That's what shows are about. It's like that. Usually it's two people, though. Usually it's not just one person. Usually it's like a duo talking about these gross stories.
All right. Considering what he wrote about what his show is about, yeah, I probably would have featured him.
Okay.
And I mean, the only reason where I think I feel creeped out about it now is because now I know he's a high school teacher.
Exactly. And so now if you read the article, though, the article itself is a good, like, there's a lot of people. Actually, I just got one from another guy who, you know, they answer these questions. And then this is what I get. It's sort of like, okay, when did you start podcasting? April 5th, 2011. Okay, why did you start podcasting? Because I have always wanted to start a podcast. What's your show about?
Oh, yeah.
I interview people about entrepreneurial world. Okay, what's your podcasting setup? I have a microphone and a computer. And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Elsie.
Right? Okay, so now if you read this article, though, as a podcaster, you actually learn stuff. He gives you, you know, what his podcasting setup is. He breaks it down all the stuff that he has. He actually put a lot of work in this. He's using a Hyo PR40, a Fathead preamp, which is expensive to use, a Mackie MDX 4600. So he was all set up. He used a compressor, limiter gate, like all of this stuff. He used. He also has the second mics whenever he has a channel 2 in there. He showed you how he helped, you know, put this stuff out there, where his stuff is put up, how he promoted his podcast. Like, he offered a lot of value. That's a really, like, for a podcaster that's looking in there, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's really good gear. I like that, right? Like, you would get something from it. So, anyway, now we've given him so much time. The poor guy is going to, like, I think he closed his account.
Now I feel like we should never, yeah. He closed his account and you can't really listen to it, but it is out there on certain sites.
Yeah, you probably won't be able to get his files. Like, if you try, I'm sure if you try to download it on Stitcher.
So now the question is, should he be fired?
I know. So that's the question. So let's put it out there to everybody. Should he be fired?
I mean, it doesn't matter whether or not you want him to teach your kids. Like, if he's doing his job and no one's being, I don't know.
Yeah, that's like.
The mother in me says he should burn in hell. But the constitutional follower in me says, if no one is the wiser, what's the difference? He thinks it's funny to lick poo or whatever, then fine, whatever. People are weird.
Yeah. So I know. And that's the tough part, right? And it's like, should that be a stipulation? I mean, there's a lot of things too that when you get hired from, you know, there are certain companies that you go into and you are not allowed to do certain things online anymore, like on your Facebook page or any of that kind of stuff. Or there's other companies where you can't have a personal. I think that's what it is. I may be totally wrong about this, but I could swear that there are some companies that you can't do certain things in terms regarding social media and the protocols around engagement. So I don't know. If you have any teachers out there, you know, that, what do you guys think? Do you guys, I don't know. So how would you, what if it was, you were into something like polyamory?
Well, that's.
And you were a teacher and you wanted to have a podcast about it to.
I don't think that's anyone's business. But again, you were right. He should have had an alias.
So, well, that's all I'm saying. It's like, where do we draw the line? Like, is having a show about polyamory, like, gonna, like, what would that do? Should you be fired for that? If you're talking, you know, honestly as an adult about your, you know, what's happening behind closed doors for you? I don't know. I mean, I'm just putting this out there because I don't know. I don't know where the line is, especially with teachers. And
somebody submitted this podcast to Best Podcast Ever on School of Podcasting.
Could it have been him?
No. I mean, that's a good question. What's the guy's name?
Bill.
Submitted by Bill Barris.
That's the dude.
From the Media Fiasco podcast. My podcast is essentially my irreverent and inappropriate take.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like he's been putting it out there. It's just that it's kind of crazy that that happened with this whole
thing. No, he likes the Mike O'Mara show. My mistake.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
He was just, yeah. Which he mentioned. So he's consistent online with the stuff that he likes. So,
yeah.
And I feel, anyway. I mean, there's a part of me, like, if you, like, I don't know, if you're being goofy. I mean, again, I'm not, it's not about defending him. It's not that. It's just that you're thinking, like, dude, you have to be smarter with the content that you put out, especially when you are, like, dealing. And I could see the teenagers diving into this stuff and, like, finding out, like, maybe the teacher randomly mentioned it. And then one of the kids was like, we're going to get this guy fired. Because basically that seems to be the case. One of the kids was like, let's get this guy fired because we don't like the teacher and let's throw him under the bus. And that's what
really?
They did.
You think that's what
it says it in the article. Did you read it? I mean, in part of it, I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. Let me see if I can.
I don't think I caught that. Hold on. Let me see.
Yeah, because I could swear, like, when I saw that, I was like, because at first I was like, oh, that's harsh. Oh, that's harsh. But let me see. Oh, the last line. So after a student found episode 3 that was devoted to sex and nudity, they took a snapshot of the site that had been viewed by 61 people and circulated it via smartphone among a number of Sierra High students. Sierra students posted comments to the snapshot, including comments such as how to get blank XXX fired for good. But the thing is, he's being thrown under the bus, this teacher, by some of these things that were said, and they were proven untrue.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. On the one hand, I feel like it's not fair, but on the other hand, it's sort of like, this kind of echoes a lot of people's feelings about like our presidential election right now. And like,
yeah,
there's a big part of me that feels like if you want to be a teacher, a policeman,
right,
the president of the United States, you should conduct yourself in a certain manner. And that does sort of include not obsessing over disgusting sexual, fecal, and, you know, whatever, articles, and then making a podcast about it. I think it should also include not marrying a nude model who steals other people's speeches and, like, you know, generally perpetuating female stereotypes by having a Miss Universe pageant. But, you know, on the other hand, it's sort of like, should the things in his personal life affect how he does the job? But I don't think it's that. I think it's that, don't we want a set of standards for the people that are supposed to be protecting us and making decisions for us and teaching our children about life?
Yeah.
Like, don't we want
absolutely
them to have personal standards? I
absolutely
think we do. I think
absolutely
so.
I completely agree on that end of things. I completely agree on that, because you're absolutely right.
I'm not sure he should be a teacher if that's his
what
thing. I'm not sure he should be a teacher if that's his thing.
Yeah, but
I don't like it.
I get it. I've known some people that are pretty iffy in terms of the stuff that they do, like in a classroom and then off the classroom, you know, out of the classroom, and the kind of behavior that they show outside of the classroom. And it's kind of like very appalling. But that's like,
then the question is, like, whose definition of iffy should it be? Yours,
right?
Mine?
Right.
I'd like, maybe, I mean, like, what if what you mean by being iffy is smoking pot?
Right. Or having,
I don't care if they,
you know,
do that.
Like, what if, like, the teacher finishes up teaching every day and they're like a functioning alcoholic, and as soon as they get out of class, they just go inside their car and they've got some beer stashed in there and they drink beer while they're, you know, on their way home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Who gets to decide what iffy behavior is?
Yeah. And that, so I don't know. So I guess this is a larger conversation. I completely agree, Jess. I mean, I completely agree that there needs to be a higher standard for all of us, because, see, here's the thing. It's like, energetically, that's what
we do.
Well,
not all of us.
Well, no, yes,
not
all
everyone.
Of us, because,
just
listen.
People who choose professions
that are
meant to be noble.
I disagree with that, because there are certain things, like, with us, with, you know, people keep asking, like, how do you start a Facebook group, and how do you keep a certain, you know, why does the She Podcast Facebook group feel differently than other podcasts? Because there are certain standards that you and I have. There's a certain energy that you and I bring to that place that happens to really help the other women there also behave in a different way when they are inside of that specific group. Right. So it's really
supported.
Yes, that's
called integrity.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's called integrity. So we're not running for office. We do have people that we teach.
I could.
So we are seated. We're in a place of the teacher, and we are in that. And that's what I've been for a long time. And I am really big on integrity as well. But I think that what's interesting about this conversation is that as media producers, there has to be integrity around one thing and the next, right? You can't, I don't know. I mean, I'm so confused about this whole thing, because what if you need an outlet?
No, here's the thing.
I don't know.
You brought up Howard Stern. Brought up Howard Stern, and here's the answer to your question. Like, should Howard Stern have more of a level of integrity? The answer here is no, because he's not trying to be a high school teacher.
He's just
being an irreverent asshole. That is his full-time job.
Right.
If this guy wants to be an irreverent asshole, he shouldn't also be a teacher or a cop or run for president. You can only do one of the two. You can either have a job that requires integrity or you can be a balls out asshole, but not both.
So
that's what I think. You want to be one, go for the one full on.
Well, see, here's the thing, too, though, dude. When we were talking about when I brought up Howard Stern, what I said was like, what if he was the high school teacher? What if Howard decided he didn't want to do the whole shock jock thing anymore and he wants to be a teacher?
But that's the point. That's the point. Howard himself would say, don't let me near anybody else's children.
Okay.
He knows he knows for sure that children shouldn't be listening to his show. I mean, he will be the first one to tell you it's not appropriate. He doesn't purport himself to be a man of integrity, yes. A man who does business with integrity, who treats other people with integrity, yes. A man who thinks farts are funny, yes. Whatever. I mean, yes, I've heard some disgusting things on that show, absolutely. But he's not trying to protect and serve, for Christ's sake. He's only trying to make people laugh. Just the one thing.
Right.
If he decided he wanted to be a professor of journalism, I think he would be highly qualified. Would I expect to hear some curse words during that class? Yes, I would. Would I expect him to talk about how he made some girl orgasm by sitting on the subwoofer? No, I would not. I would find that inappropriate. He's 67 years old and those kids are 20. That's right. Absolutely not appropriate. So, I mean, but that's the thing. First of all, I don't think Howard would. I think if he were going to be a professor, he wouldn't do that. But there's no evidence that this guy did it. He could be a very fine, upstanding teacher. We just don't have no idea.
Right.
But the point is, he's trying to be both. That's what annoys me, is that either you're a teacher. I mean, if you want to think stuff is funny, fine. Why do you have to talk about it and tell everyone what you think? Because you're an arrogant dick. That does not make you a good teacher.
Right. And maybe, maybe it was one of those things where we maybe right now don't realize the type of impact that our online choices can have. And that's a conversation that's going to be even more and more relevant from now on, right? Because it's going to be one of those things where we're going to be incredibly mindful now from now on. I mean, anybody can go back, because I'm still in awe of people coming up to me because of videos that I made 10 years ago, Jess, right? I saw I actually just had one of our newer friends. They just moved into Asheville and they're both yoga teachers. And then he came up to me. He's like, I did your video the other day. And I'm like, oh my God, I made that video in 2007. And I feel like that's not scary. Even me anymore. There's a part of me that's like, that I was a little bit
shy.
You
weren't even a mom then.
Actually, I had just been, like, I was a new mom. I was a new mom then.
Okay.
And and so it was kind of weird because I was just like, wow. Or 2008. But anyway, it was just, I was a little shy about it because that's not me anymore. I mean, I never say that I can't, you know, when you watch that video, it's not like you're going to not get a good teacher, because I was a good yoga teacher, but my body is not like that anymore. I don't have that level of strength anymore. I'm not that woman anymore. I am way wiser, way older, and I probably wouldn't do that anymore. So I feel like, you did. It's sort of like somebody watching your kid video. Like, just like, well, that was me then.
It's embarrassing.
I'm not that. Yeah, I was a little bit embarrassed, even though it was a good class. Mm-hmm. And then I know people still watch it. So, you know, that has legs. It continues to be out there now. And I mean, it might be a really good thing maybe for my girls later on when I'm like 70 years old and go like, wow, my mom was strong. You know, something like that. But there's also times when it's like, well, I'm not that girl anymore. There's a couple of videos out there where I'm like carefree, quirky, as all get out, fun, smiley. And I'm much not like that anymore. You know, when I see that, I'm like, oh, that girl, she was so innocent. She had no idea what was in store.
I remember her.
Yeah. And it's not me anymore. But what,
that makes sense.
So anyway, our online.
Even me 7 years ago.
Stuff is just out there now to be consumed. And maybe that's not us anymore. And we're going to be judged by that. So it's just a conversation to have. So. Well,
yeah, it's interesting. This has been very interesting.
Very interesting conundrum. But how about, we've been talking for a while now. Do you want to do some tips? Because I think you have a tip this time before we close it off here.
Do you have any tips?
I don't have any tips. I did not write them down. I have a couple I can talk about, but you're welcome to do it yourself. You see, it's a money tip of all things.
I thought I would add a money tip to your tech tips.
Okay.
We had more tips.
Why don't you do a money tip then? Do a money tip.
Elsie's tool tip. Okay, this week the money tip is going to be... Now I forget. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, this week the money tip is to, if you are a starving podcaster and you're not sure that you're ready for sponsors, and I know people say do affiliate marketing, and I know you're just like, ugh, affiliate marketing because it's cost per click and this and that, but my suggestion is to sign up with one of the larger affiliate companies like ShareASale, Rakuten, Commission Junction. Pick only the things that are really, 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 really relevant to your show, just one or two, and create a campaign around that. So let's just say you have a show about fashion, and one of those places has Macy's, for example, and they're doing a... Macy's is always changing their affiliate coupons and stuff, so you can mention listeners to the fashion podcast get 30% off if they use this code or go to this link, and then you get a percentage. Certain companies are offering a way bigger percentage than others. So find someone with like a 15% share program. You, first of all, you look like you have Macy's as an advertiser. Second of all, you're making something, which is better than nothing. And third of all, like, you'll get a chance to see what it's like to actually like plan and run a campaign. You'll put it as part of your show notes. You'll mention it. You'll make a link. Maybe you'll add one of the graphics they offer as a banner. And it's just a way to sort of test out like what kind of results you can get without having to actually pitch a sponsor and then be under the pressure of having to deliver something because someone you know is waiting for those results. Like, you can test it out yourself. And that way you can say, well, you know, 30% clicked on it or this many people clicked on it. It's just a nice way of like testing the waters if you're not sure you're ready for sponsorship. So that's my money tip. I can put some links to what different affiliate networks there are in the show notes. But the ones I mentioned again are ShareASale.com, Commission Junction, and Rakuten, which is Rakuten.com. That's my money tip. What do you
awesome.
Think, Els?
That was awesome. Really great, 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 great stuff. I just...
You have no idea what I said, do
no,
you?
No, no, no. I do. I totally understood what you were talking about.
I'm
and
kidding.
I think
I'm just kidding. I'm
no, but
totally
I
kidding.
Do think that this would help a lot of podcasters start to get their skills ready for advertising. And for you guys to understand that, there's a lot of responsibility and kind of pressure. There's a little bit of pressure whenever you do have an advertiser because it's no longer just your show. You are now, in a way, you need to deliver. And it does... require some chops to be able to deliver that. And part of that is that you need to also deliver sales or convert in some way. And one way to do exactly what Jess said without the big pressure is to try it that way. And that way you'll get good at to see like what exactly you really like to sell and if it's really good and if you can do it and if your people listen to what you say. I mean, it's so important. So good job.
Yeah, it's like a test.
Good job.
Yeah,
Jess.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, woo-hoo. That's my money tip.
Yay.
For the cash hungry. Okay, I don't have a weird and wild show of the week this time, although I guess now we do, even though you can't listen to it. It's the
oh,
guy
I know,
that
media fiasco. But here, I have one because I just had a conversation with somebody that I sent your way to where it was the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The trial junkie. Is that what it was? The trial junkies? Oh my gosh, I don't want to give the wrong name.
Yeah, it's about court. Court something. Wait.
Court junkies.
Court junkies. Court junkies. Yes, that is a cool concept for a show, for sure.
So the Court Junkie podcast, guys, it's like basically about true crime, right? Obviously. So the show covers interesting criminal trends, unsolved crimes, and missing person cases. And it sort of raises awareness and understanding around the legal system and the effects these cases have on our society, which is really great. So the main host, her name is Jillian, and she is independent. She's an independent reporter. And she was really passionate about this. She really wants to do this full time. She just actually launched the show in August. And it came into my attention just a couple of days ago, and I started binging on it because it's sort of like Dateline, but like not so sleazy, you know?
Yes.
Because it's like a woman telling you about it, like a real personable woman friend giving you the scoop and details about the trials. And it's just really interesting. And they're, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that she was talking about, like these crazy, like there was this one girl that was missing for 2 years and then she was reported missing 2 years later. And they all the work that came into finding that out and how horrible it was when they found out what they don't even know exactly what happened to the girl either. And there's like there's a lot of stuff like that where it's a little bit freaky. The latest episode is about a 12-year-old girl who murdered her family. It's insane. Who knew that was a thing?
Oh my God.
It's crazy. But it's not done in a sleazy, sensationalistic type way. It's done it's very well done. So that's my random thing. It just came to me. You guys check it out. She's doing very well. And it's a really cool show. So CourtJunkie.com.
Yay, Court Junkie.
Court Junkie. Woohoo. So, and then we also have our lovely editor, which we didn't have today because we had so many tech problems here. John Buchanis, you can find him at audioeditingsolutions.com, and he has an amazing diva package.
The diva package.
The diva package.
You have to ask him what it is.
He's got that for us.
We can't talk about it at
all
the moment.
Of the She Podcasters. So if you want that, you can email john@audioeditingsolutions.com and just ask for the diva package, and then he will let you know what that's all about. He's been doing a fantastic job basically editing on the fly, which we're not doing today. He added all the extra noises and all bumpers and all
yes.
that kind of stuff in post because I had so much trouble
so
connecting
fun.
Today. So sorry, John. We
so John's diva
you.
Package. If yeah. you want it, you can it, have it. Come and get it.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, for listening. And give us the scoop on what you think about our conversations this week.
About media disaster or whatever the hell. Fiasco.
Yeah. Media disaster. That's exactly what happened to him. It was more than
tell
media
us what you think about podcasting disaster. His and
life,
ours.
It was life disaster that happened. Life disaster.
Yes, it's all disaster. The whole thing is a disaster.
Life
disaster. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check us out at shepodcast.com.
Yep.
Facebook.com/shepodcast. Twitter.com/shepodcast. Patreon.com/shepodcast. Buy us a cup of coffee if you enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
Give us a rate and review. Consider providing for our children since we're having a hard time doing it. And thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
That was a joke. We're not having that hard of a time, but it would be nice if you.
It was nice, yes.
Helped us out a little.
Totally.
That was lame. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Yes. And I love you.
Okay. Okay. We love you.
I mean it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.